Welcome to another session. Today we are going to be talking about embracing minimalism in every area of your life, and this is going to be a Q&A. I am going to allow some time for you guys to ask questions. Hi Becca, how are you? Thank you for joining. New space, Emilio. Yeah, I still don't have internet in my new apartment. Tomorrow the technicians are coming to put it on. Excuse me. So this used to be my room at one time, and now this is my parents' house, one of the rooms that they have, and this is, as you can see, is where Eva sleeps. That's why you can see so many stuffies, and there are quite a few things around, but that's okay. But no, this is not where I live. This is my parents' house, because they have good internet here. Yeah, good morning, Kathleen, Bree, C. Thank you guys for joining. Today, as I say, this is a Q&A about minimalism in general, applying minimalism to every area of your life. For those of you who don't know, I have a course about embracing minimalism in your life. It's a 14-day course where I teach you and I share different recipes to embrace minimalism, because minimalism is not a recipe that is the same for everybody. You need to discover what minimalism means to you and how you want to implement it in your life. And no one can tell you if you are a minimalist or not. You define that. You get to define that. Yeah, Kathleen says, good setting for minimalism topic. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I had the small screen and I said, no, I'm going to have the big one because this is my reality today. This is what I'm doing this session about. And I want to hold space for judgment, because this is something that happens with a lot of people. We see an environment that we don't understand, that we don't feel well in, that we don't like, and we have a tendency to judge. We have a tendency to, well, there's a lot of stuff here, but we sometimes don't understand why there are so many things here. And in this particular room, I can tell you why you can see so many things around. It is because there is not a lot of intention in this space. And why? Because since I left, this used to be my room. Since I left, this space has been a lot of different things. At one point, it was my father's room. He has a computer here that he used to use, but he doesn't anymore. And then another point, it was a music room that there is a stereo here to listen music to, but no one uses it anymore. And another point, I built this big shelf here because I was studying and I needed the space, but no one needs that anymore. So basically, the only thing that this room is used for is storage. When I stay here, I sleep here, and my daughter Eva, when she stays, she sleeps here. But other than that, it doesn't really have a very defined purpose. That's why you see a lot of things laying around, and that's okay. You can just tell us if those are your stuffies. No, actually, the stuffy that I used to have, it's with me, because Eva, my daughter, she wants me to sleep with a stuffy. She doesn't want me to sleep alone, so I have it with me. Those stuffies, they don't really mean anything to me. I don't think they were from my infancy, but I like stuffies. They don't mind. I don't mind them looking at me there, so that's funny. Yeah, so guys, do you have any questions about minimalism? How can I support you today? And remember, the better the questions, the better the answers you will receive, okay? So the more specific the questions you ask, the more specific support, ideas you will get from me and from everybody in this life. And while you guys share any questions, I want you guys to share in the chat. What does minimalism mean to you? What is the definition of minimalism? When someone says, what is minimalism? What will you tell them? And I think it's important to start with the definition. Like, what does it mean to you, minimalism? And I think also it's important to really share, if you want to share, how do you feel when you hear the word minimalism? Do you feel excited? Do you feel constrained? How do you feel? So Christine says, how do you view minimalism when it comes to hobbies? Like, how can you be a minimalist but have a bunch of sport equipment or crafting stuff or instruments or whatever? So Christine, that's why it's so important to define minimalism, because minimalism doesn't mean not having things. Minimalism means to be intentional about the things that you have. Okay, so it's about questioning everything that you own and really questioning, am I using this? Do I need this? Does this belong in my life? So, in my personal case right now in Barcelona, people will say, you are not a minimalist. No, I'm not, because I have a kitesurfing gear, I have a wing foil gear, I have a bicycle, I have a slackline, I have a unicycle, so I have juggling balls. So I have a lot of things that because I enjoy and I use them. So to me, that's purposeful, that's meaningful, that's intentional, because I use those things and I don't care if I have to stack them up. Right now, we live in a two-bedroom apartment. We moved and we don't have a lot of space, but I am not willing to give them up. So I found a way to store them somehow functional for this year that we're going to be here for, because they are important to me and those are activities that I want to prioritize. So I think it's important for you to gain clarity about what is important, what do I want to use, and what do I want to give space to. And then once you decide what you are keeping, how can I organize these things in the best possible way so that they can be functional, they don't take a lot of space, I can access them easily, and I can tell you that organization strategies can help you optimize how you store things in your home. Organization can help you optimize how you use the vertical space in cabinets, in cupboards, in closets, in garages, in attics, in basements, etc. So those are the answers that I will give you around that topic. Okay? Kim says, two very good starting points. Everyone is different. Intention of the space. It could have changed. This is good to reflect. Kim, absolutely. And this is why in the course that I have about minimalism and all the courses that I have that you can take, I always start with intention, with awareness. First, I always ask you, like, why are you taking this course? What brought you here? Maybe frustrations, maybe excitement, maybe some ideas, some goals that you have and you thought that this course can help you. Maybe you don't even know why you are here, but you are here and you are here for a reason. Let me tell you that. It's not a coincidence. So yeah, intention is really important. And when you look at a space, you can look at a space and really think about what is the intention of this space for me right now at this stage of my life. And that's gonna keep changing and evolving as your life evolves. We're going to be transitioning from stage to stage, and every stage of life is gonna bring different things. We're gonna have different needs. We're gonna have different kind of energy. We're gonna have different priorities, and our spaces need to reflect that. So that's why sometimes physical clutter appears when we lack time, we lack clarity, we lack energy to cope with those transitions that life throw at us. And we don't have enough time to react, to adjust, to even think about how can I set this space differently now with my current needs, not with the needs I had 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So yeah, intention is really, really important. Minimalism is having only one storage unit instead of two. That's a good definition, man. If that works for you, that can be your definition of minimalism, right? I don't think I agree with it, but that's fine. Kathleen says, for me, I accumulate too much stuff because I'm lazy. But too much stuff makes me stressed. When I finally declutter a space, it makes me feel calm. So Kathleen, it's good awareness. I will invite you to use stop using words like lazy. Like, there is always a reason why you do or don't do something. Believe it or not, there is always a reason. You may know it consciously or you may not know it, and they may be unconscious to you. But where every time you do or you don't do something, you are owning, you are making a choice. You are always making choices. Okay? So I wouldn't say that you are lazy. I would say that you are choosing to prioritize other things. Or maybe you accumulate too much stuff for a reason that maybe you don't know, or maybe you do know. And maybe you just have to be a little bit gentle with yourself and own the choice that you make. And if you choose not to declutter for a while, then own that choice. You don't have to. But if you are noticing that you don't feel well and you want to declutter, then own that need and then take action, right? So many times people want to take action and maybe they can't. Maybe they don't have energy. Maybe they don't have the time, or they don't know how to create the time. Maybe it's very emotional. It's a very emotional process and they just need support and they don't have that support right now. So there are many reasons why sometimes we unconsciously may choose not to do something. Okay? And I will say that the word lazy, most likely if we dig deeper, I don't think that's true. But that's an assumption, okay? That's an assumption. Purple says, did you say a slide bike? No, Purple, I said a slack line. Slack line is a line that you put between two trees and you can walk on it. That's called a slack line. And I had a unicycle. It's one bicycle with one wheel that I'm learning how to use. Becca says, minimalism, living without unnecessary possessions that do not have meaning, function, or space in our life. It's individual for every person. Becca, absolutely. It is individual for every person. And it is a really good definition, like things that are unnecessary, things that don't have meaning, things that don't have a function in your space right now. Buenos días, Ana from California. Yeah, so there is an example that I share in one of my courses, and it's the example of a really good bicycle, okay? Someone spent $3,000 in a really good bicycle, okay? And at one point, that bicycle was a priority. They used it every weekend, and they didn't mind having that bicycle. They live in a very small apartment, so they didn't have a garage or space to hold the bicycle, but they had to get creative and have the bicycle hanging, but it was visual, and it was on the way every day. At one stage of life, that person made that a priority, and the bicycle was a non-negotiable item. It was intentional, they wanted to bike, and it was important. So I would say, you can be a minimalist in a very small apartment, having a bicycle hanging from the wall. If that's what you really want, why not? But over time, this person noticed that, wow, it's been 3 years, 4 years, and I haven't used a bicycle because my life changed, because whatever, I have ambitious at work, or I have a girlfriend, or maybe I had a baby, or whatever, and then they don't use that bicycle anymore. So if someone comes to the apartment and you ask them, is that bicycle clutter? Many people will say, no, that's not clutter. That's a beautiful $3,000 bicycle. But for that specific person, at that specific time of their life, that $3,000 bicycle, it is clutter because it no longer fits what they want to be doing. It is their choice. So then they needed to get over the idea, accepting, like, I need to sell this bicycle, I need to give it away. It no longer serves me. It no longer fits in my life because I don't want to bike anymore. It's not something I want or choose to do. So as you can see, it's very blurry, and every person is going to make a different choice in that specific example. And the judgments that are going to come from each of you, if I were to ask you, are going to be different about, is that bicycle clutter? Is that person a minimalist having a bicycle hanging on the wall in a small apartment? Well, every person is different, and I will always say the same thing. It doesn't matter what others think. What matters is what you think, what you want. And then whatever you choose, own the choice. And for that person, at one point, that was being a minimalist and that was intentional to keep that bicycle there. And now it's not. And it's okay to change. It's okay to evolve. So this is just one example with a very specific item. Another item that I see a lot about minimalism and physical things is having a gym at home. Many times I see people investing a lot of money into a machine that it's normally in the basement, and then what happens is that many times they don't use it, and then they have a lot of feelings, mixed feelings. They feel guilty, they feel that they have failed. They feel that they should be exercising there. But then when I start asking them the idea of like, so why don't you go there to exercise? What's happening? And they start describing me, well, I don't like it's really dark. I don't like that it feels like I don't disconnect because I'm not getting out of the house. And now I work from home all the time. So I kind of feel the need to get out and go somewhere else. And it's like, well, those are really valid points. And maybe your life has changed. And maybe the intention that you had about that equipment, it changed. Sometimes we need to allow ourselves the time to test an idea. So that this is what I encourage you all to do. Anytime you want to make a change that involves a lot of money, an investment of some sort, a renovation, I invite you to test the idea first. Test it, because many times we face things that we don't know until we experience it. This can happen with equipment, gym equipment in the basement, in the garage. This can happen with, oh, I would love a desk in that corner of the room. So put a cardboard box, sit on a chair in there, try to work there, try to do what you are trying to do in there. See how you feel, see if you like it. Because many times you will sit there and for some reason that you don't understand, I just don't feel well here. I don't know what it is, but I don't feel well. I don't want to have a desk here. I don't want to sit here. And imagine if you invested money and time to renovate, to make the room, to put the desk there, to paint whatever, and then you sit there and you feel that way. That would be really crappy, wouldn't it be? So test your ideas first with temporary things that don't involve a lot of investment in time, in energy, in space. And then once you validate the idea, once you have tested and experienced it and you are happy with it, then you can go ahead and make it permanent. But so many times you have to allow yourself a testing period of time. This can happen with hobbies. This can happen with the way you use the space currently. This can happen with where you watch TV, where you read, where you work. Just test ideas. Many times, I remember I have a very good example about something temporary. We were helping a couple. They were living in an apartment. They were sharing the apartment and they only had a bedroom. And I remember that she had a hobby. And her hobby was to sew. She loved to sew. She had, she was knitting. And she had all these different projects on the go. And she was overwhelmed because she didn't know what to do with all the projects. But she wanted to pursue them. And then I asked her, like, can you show me how you do it? What are you doing? How much do you need? What are the tools that you use? So she put everything on the bed and then I look at it and then it just came to me. It's like, wow, these are squares. Like if we create something that has this size squares, this deep, maybe this big, okay, we can place every project in one of those squares. And the best place to put this is under the bed because it's empty. There is nothing under the bed. So we can create some sort of organizing solution that could be this big. Okay. And we can have, I think she had like between 8 and 12 projects on the go. So we can create something with like 16 holes. Let's do 16 to be safe. So what did I do? I just went outside, went to the garbage, grabbed cardboard, cut it with the X-Acto knife, and with tape and cardboard, I created a solution that recreated what she wanted. And I taped it really well so that it wouldn't come apart. And I told her like, hey, I want you to test this idea. If you like it, if you use it, if it's practical, then you can go out and you can buy something more permanent, something with the colors, the texture that you want. But I want the functionality first. I want you to try this. Let me know how it goes. I remember we finished the session, we left, and then we were in touch by email and she was, yeah, everything is fine. So years later, I met her on the street and guess what she told me? Emilio, do you remember that thing that you made me with cardboard and tape? It's still under the table, under the bed. I love it. I don't want to buy anything else. So that's another idea of testing things. And you don't have to spend money to test things. You can be resilient. You can be minimalist. You can be crafty and you can make it fun. And many times functionality comes first and then you can make it permanent. Then you can invest. Then you can make it beautiful, pretty, colorful, and whatever you need. You can beautify it. But the functionality always comes first. Don't forget that. Because if you have beautiful things that are not functional, you are going to keep being overwhelmed and frustrated and stressed because it didn't solve your problem. It looks beautiful, yes, but it's not functional. And many times we are looking for functionality first and then you beautify after, once you have a system that works for you. Okay? Beth says, I completely agree. My husband and I are considering renovating our kitchen. We have moved some appliances to see how it flows before we move cabinets and make it more permanent. Beth, absolutely. Wonderful that you are doing that. Another thing that I want to let you know, that we help a lot of people declutter, they were contemplating the idea of doing an addition to the house, an addition. So that's a big renovation to add more space, to create more space, because they believe that they needed more space. Because they were feeling cramped, they were feeling cluttered. They were feeling like there is not enough space and we need to breathe. And I always tell them the same thing. Please, let us the opportunity to help you declutter. And then you can decide whatever you want. But let's do the decluttering first. I can tell you that majority of the people that we help declutter, they are like a very, very impressed with how much space we created, how much empty space it is after. And they are amazed at, wow, I can't believe I have so much space. I can't believe I had so many things that I didn't need anymore. And it's so good that now they are gone and now I know where things are and I may not need to do the renovation. So always start with the decluttering, always. Before you do a renovation, before you do anything permanent, always declutter first, assess. When you are decluttering, what you are doing is you are questioning everything that you own. You are questioning what you do. You are becoming aware of the reality of your life. You are saying no to the things that no longer fit in your life and letting them go with love, finding a new home for them. You can sell them, donate them, give them to a friend, put it on the side of the road with a free sign, whatever you want to do, but they don't belong in your home anymore. And when you create that space, you are activating your home. You are bringing fresh energy. You are moving the stagnation that existed there. And then you are creating something new. And this is what I want to do here with my mom. Just for you to know, like, I really want to do that with every space of their home because it needs it. The home has been stagnant for so long. And she's so happy to do it, but she just cannot do it alone. She doesn't have the energy, the idea. She doesn't know. And she's choosing to do other things. That's great. But stagnation is normal in spaces, especially the ones that you don't use on a daily basis. So let me see what you guys are saying. We moved the coffee machine near our water filter, moved the meal prepping items to a more logical place, etc. Amazing, Beth. So it's good that you are exploring new ways of layout and exploring the flow of that space and see how it goes, right? See how it feels. That's amazing. Kenya says, I'm having a hard time getting going with minimizing due to my time management since I seem to have so much to do each day that take priority. How do you recommend dealing with that? Kenya, honestly, if you can enroll in my intentional time management course, I get you. And that's why I created that course. Because many times I have people coming asking, I want to declutter my home. I want to practice more self-care. I want to embrace minimalism. I want to do this, and this, but I can't find the time. And finding the time is not easy. Finding the time can be very emotional, and there are so many strategies that you can explore, but it may be overwhelming. And there is a lot of mental and emotional processing that needs to happen. It's not only about time management strategy only. It's not a logical thing only. It's also emotional and mental. So I will invite you to check my course, Intentional Time Management. Please, if you do enroll, use the course classroom. I would love to support you there. And I guide you through the process on how can you first become aware of your situation? How can you set priorities that are aligned with you? And how can you practically fit everything that you want to do in a week? And then when things don't fit in that week, how can you cope and manage that? How can you prioritize? How can you allow yourself maybe to pause some of the things and concentrate on others? And that's going to help you then get to where you want to go. And this is your journey and you get to decide that. But the process looks very similar to majority of the people. and that is becoming aware, creating clear intentions, exciting intentions, and then becoming aware of what's happening by tracking your time, and then creating an ideal week or crafting and putting your intention into practicality on a day-to-day basis, and then reflecting, acknowledging what's happening, tweaking, testing, and testing again. And once you find something that works, maintaining that. So it's a very powerful process, and that's what I would recommend that you do if you can. And please enroll, when you enroll, use the course classroom. I would really love Kenya to support you. You can share any specific challenge that you may face, and you can celebrate the progress that you are facing. You can listen to all the replies that I have shared with other students in there, and hopefully that will motivate you, and you will get ideas from other people's situations too. That's what normally happens. Jennifer says, I love your idea of stagnation. Yeah, Jennifer, that's what really happens. It's a stagnant energy. And when you start decluttering, that's why it's such an emotional process, because you start moving energy. And energy is just everything that we do, every choice that we make, it's energy. And that's impregnated in every belonging that we have around us. And if we haven't touched a belonging in a really long time, when we touch it, you are going to be somehow connecting with the energy of that object. So you're going to be connecting with the choice that you made. You're going to be connecting with where that item came from. You're going to be connecting with all the memories that that item may trigger in you. Sometimes are good memories, sometimes are bad memories, sometimes are traumatic memories. Maybe you find something from someone that is no longer here with you, and that triggers grief or triggers like sadness. And imagine if you keep doing that with every object that you have around you. That's why sometimes this process can be very overwhelming to do it alone. And that's why support is here. I am support. There are other people that can support you. There are groups. So there are many, many different ways of support. And you get to decide how you want to receive that support. It is your choice. Let me see what you guys are sharing. I have lived here for over 30 years and I almost need... So Jennifer, it's normal, and it's never too late to minimalism is it's another cool idea. It's another cool entry point to this intentional living journey that I am always talking about. Entry point means that sometimes people feel curiosity about minimalism. Sometimes they feel curiosity about decluttering. Sometimes they feel curiosity about self-care, about executive functioning skills, about Swedish death cleaning, about ikigai, Japanese term. So that's why I always try to talk about different things. But at the end, everything brings you to alignment. Everything brings you to intention, to becoming aware of your situation and to start making more intentional choices that feel aligned to you. And minimalism is the same thing. Minimalism is the same idea. You are looking at your life. You can look at your life holistically, or you can look at every specific area. In the course that I created, I divide the course in different areas, because I do home, I do relationships, I do office and work, I do paper, I do... So you can apply minimalism to any area that you can think of, because minimalism is basically applying the concept of how am I doing in this area? How am I feeling here? Becoming aware of what's present for you, accepting that, and then bringing intention. What would I like to see? What would I like to change? What would I like to stop doing? What would I like to start doing? Etc. And then once you have come clear with yourself and you have done whatever you needed to get clear, then you start taking action. And that's when you start normally decluttering, assessing, questioning, and then you organize, and then you beautify, and then you maintain. And then anytime life changes and you go through a life transition, then you do the same process again. And then it's always about flowing through life, but always assessing, always being proactive, always becoming aware. Wow, this is coming. Wow, I just had a baby. whoa, my life is a mess right now. Diapers everywhere, clothes everywhere, what's going on? Well, relax. You just had a baby, okay? It's okay that things are messy, no problem. You are focusing on other things. Then after you have, okay, now I have more energy. Okay, let's set up, let's declutter. But always being gentle with yourself, always understanding what's happening and prioritizing with intention. And then owning that choice, okay? Owning the choice. Intention is exactly what I want and need. So Kenya, there are many strategies that I share in all of my courses about how can you find your intention? How can you create space to find what's true to you right now? And sometimes you just have to discover that because you may not know it, and that's okay. Becca says, Jennifer, same here. I wish I could go back on to the empty house. It was before I moved in. Yeah, that's amazing. One of the clients that I helped declutter, I remember she was really young. Her name is Kim, and she did write a blog post for us, and you can find it on our website. It's called the Kim Story. And basically, she was raised always with clutter everywhere, to the point that she wasn't even using the garbage. She was just putting garbage everywhere because that's what she learned. And it took her going on a trip and removing herself from her day-to-day routine. And she went on this European trip. Oh my goodness. So far, guys, for everything that I have shared, like, do you have any further questions about minimalism, anything that came up for you? I did share a few examples. Please repeat about Kim. I have a son like her in despair with his situation. Yeah. So about Kim's situation, when we helped her, I think she was like 20 years old, honestly, very, very young. She lived by herself in an apartment. And basically what was happening is that she was repeating old patterns. She was repeating what she learned from her infancy. But she had enough. She said, I had enough. And what helped her change was to go for a trip. She went on a European trip. During that trip, she got to do some couch surfing, she stayed with friends, she stayed in Airbnbs, and then what happened is that she was able to immerse herself in someone else's way of life. She got to see different apartments, different ways of living, different ways of organizing, and she realized all the possibilities that she had in front of her. And I remember that she was describing when she came back home, she put the key inside the door, and then when she entered her apartment, that's when she decided inside of her, I don't know how I am going to do this, but I cannot live like this anymore. So that's the time when she made a conscious and intentional choice of, I don't want this anymore. I don't choose this in my life anymore. So I'm going to research, I'm going to do something different, and I don't know how to do it, but I need to change. And that's when she went online. That's when she found us. She found some stories from other clients. And she was very hesitant to let us into her apartment. Absolutely, of course, because she was opening a messy apartment to completely people that she didn't know. But she said, I have seen what you have done for other people. I have seen some of the videos that you shared. And I feel that you can help me. And I want help. I want to get this done. I don't want to live like this anymore. So that was what she needed. And so basically what happened here now, looking at this after like almost 10 years ago, and what I know now about executive functioning skills, about mental and emotional processing and all that stuff, what happened is that she removed herself from the familiarity, from the cyclical patterns that she has been repeating for so long. And she went into the unknown in the form of a trip. And in that trip, in that vacation, in that opportunity that she created for herself to see other people's ways of living, then she discovered that she doesn't have to do what she has done until now, that she could do something different. But she needed that trip to open her eyes, to really experience it. And then go back home and then recognize, like, I don't want this anymore. It doesn't feel aligned with who I want to be. And that's what she needed. That's what she did. That's why when I did my trip that I was traveling for like 4 years, that's why that trip for me was so life-changing too, because I got to see so many different cultures and I got to stay in so many different places and I got to see how people live and how they prioritize and how they use the spaces and how the values that they were following in life. And it's just very, very enriching. It's a very enriching experience. Kay says, wondering if you have any advice about minimalism for camping. So Kay, yeah, absolutely, I do have. When I started my trip, I remember I was carrying a 60-liter backpack in the back and a 35-liter backpack in the front. And it wasn't until I started traveling and I got to experience the day-to-day of camping, traveling, however you want to call it, that I started to recognize and question everything I had. And I was then able to recognize, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need this? No, I don't, because I haven't used it. It's not necessary. And then after a few months, I was able to downsize my backpack to a 35 liter in the back, and that's it. So from 50 plus 35 liters to a 135 liter backpack. So that is a dramatic change. So in your case about camping, what I would recommend is anytime you go camping, have an ongoing list. Things that you forgot that you wish you had, things that you packed that you didn't need. And then as you keep camping, you are going to keep polishing that list. And I promise you that you will end up with a beautiful, efficient, minimalist list that helps you and serves you the best. I did that with camping. I did this approach with canoeing because when I moved to Canada, I had the opportunity to go to a few canoeing trips. And the first time I went to a canoe trip, I had no idea what to pack. I have never done it before. So I did a list and then I packed what I thought. I asked people, but then I created that list. And then when I was in the trip, every day I was noticing I didn't need to bring this. So I went to my list and scratched it. Or I wish I had something to listen to a podcast because I have so much downtime. I brought it down. Oh, I wish I had this thing. I wish I didn't have this. And I kept polishing the list. And then by the end of that trip, I can tell you that I could take people canoeing and I could lead them into a canoe trip, not feeling that I'm not capable because I have that list that I have experienced. So the secret here is to experience it and adjust as you experience it. Okay? So that's my recommendation for camping, how to apply minimalism to camping. And also it's really important to really understand what kind of camping do I want to do. Is it when I was climbing and camping, I invested some money in something that was really small. Like I remember I had like a stove that is this big, honestly, and then it unfolds everything and it was a beautiful stove, very efficient, and it was so compact. So I saw the value on spending extra money on that little device because I knew I could use it in every trip I went to. So you can narrow down, like, how can I make this more efficient? Is it worth it for me to invest money in buying something smaller? Can I make do with what I have? And do I really need it? So there are many different ways of doing this. I hope that that was helpful. Let me know. Thank you guys so much. I see some donations coming in. I really, really appreciate your support. And if you are enjoying this session, as always, you can support me with a donation. You can also support me by joining any of my courses and engaging in the course classroom. And I would love also to support you in your journey. Okay. Kathleen says, breaking a cycle is a great idea for changing many things that we want to do differently. Kathleen, absolutely. How do you change the cycle? That's the thing. How do you change the cycle? And this is a question for you guys. How can you change a cycle that is no longer working for you? What comes to mind? What can you do? And this is something that I also cover in my course about executive functioning skills. Like, what are the skills, the executive functioning skills that are involved in helping us get out of a pattern? How can we bring more presence, more awareness, more mindfulness to the present moment so that we can notice that we are following a pattern? Kathleen says, first, being aware of what needs changing. Absolutely, Kathleen. The first is, if you don't know what you want to change, then how are you going to change it? So the first step is always to become aware, to notice it, okay? And how can you notice something that you want to change? Well, I would say that a great entry point is frustration. Anytime you are feeling frustrated about something, that to me indicates that that's an entry point for you to discover, how can I eliminate this frustration that I am experiencing? Okay? So yeah, noticing it, becoming aware, okay? And then once you become aware, then you can make a different choice. In the present moment, you can then decide, what can I do differently? And it's okay if you don't have a clear answer yet. It's okay if you don't know how to do it differently, because that's normal. If you are stopping doing something that you have done always the same way, and now you have to do something different, it's normal that you don't know what that is yet. So you have to discover. And it's going to be a messy process. It's going to be clunky, and it's going to be, it's okay. You are changing, okay? And you are discovering something different, trying a different way of doing things. And eventually, with repetition, you will master something different that feels more aligned with you. Kay says, yes, thank you, that is helpful. I have been creating a list for what to bring, but love keeping a working list and making changes as I go. And mentally letting go of being prepared for something unlikely to need so. I have something I can put on the line for bring next time. And save carrying too much weight. Yeah, Kay, happy to share an experience about camping. Okay, my own experience. I remember I was probably, I would say maybe 16, 17 years old, and I was planning on joining the hiking club here in my city. And then this question arise. It's like, what am I packing in the backpack? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't want to forget something. And I was going on a 2 or 3 day camping trip, and I was afraid of being in the middle of nothing and then missing something essential, right? So I thought, like, what can I do to make this process more, first, more enjoyable, and second, like, more efficient, and I want to make sure that I have what I need. So what I did, I pretended to go on a trip. So one Saturday morning, I was here at home, and I pretended I'm going on a camping trip, but I wasn't going anywhere. But I got the backpack, I packed everything I thought I needed, and then I put the backpack on, and then I just walk around the corner to a mountain that is really close. And then I pretended, okay, I'm going to camp here. So I unpack everything, I set the tent, I put my sleeping bag, and then I noticed I forgot this, I don't need this, I forgot that. So I kind of went through the activities that I was planning on doing. I even had lunch there. I'm going to heat up my lunch. So I basically experienced everything, but beside the house. And then I was keeping track. I need this. I didn't need this. This is really heavy. Next time I pack the backpack, the weight needs to be down or up. So I learned from the experience. And then after, I was feeling very confident to go on that trip. And I knew I will not forget something essential because I had a list, because I had experienced it. So that's something that you can also do. You can pretend that you are doing that and you can run through the process. And then you can notice by doing it if you are forgetting something. That is a really powerful process that you don't have to do outside of the house. You can even do it at home if you want. Kathleen says, I have been trying to observe how I feel during the day and what I'm doing when I don't feel well. That helps me see what I need to change. Yeah, Kathleen, mindfulness, self-care. You are using your metacognition executive functioning skill. When you are doing that, you are coming to the present moment. You are becoming aware of what's present, and you are noticing what you are doing, how you are acting, how you are thinking. And the more you can do that, the more present you can be, the more you can notice. And the more you can notice, the more you can then start using your cognitive flexibility or adaptable thinking to then start brainstorming ideas like, how can I make this different? How can I encounter this situation in a different way next time this happens? And then all of a sudden you will start receiving ideas like, oh yeah, I could try this, I could try that, I could try and doing this differently this way. And then you are going to do that next time. You're going to take that action. And then you are going to reflect, how did that go? I will change this. I will tweak that. That was great. And then over time, the more you do this, the more you are going to create what you really want. In this case, you will let go of an old pattern, an old habit, an old way of doing something, and an old belief that you were feeling emotionally charged about, and then you are moving forward in a different way. So this is a great example on how to use that metacognition and that cognitive flexibility and your emotional self-regulation to cope emotions that may arise so that you don't get paralyzed or overwhelmed. And then by still feeling what you are feeling, you can still keep moving forward and noticing, wow, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Wow, I'm feeling anxiety now. Wow, I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling sadness. I'm feeling whatever you are feeling, but you can still be present with it. You don't just go into that emotion and get lost in it. So yeah, good job. That's amazing. That's amazing work. The more you can do that, the better, the more change you can do. Okay, says, my tent is currently up inside my house with the bags inside, laughing out loud. I'm doing a weekend trip soon. That's local and using it as a way to prepare for start camping more regularly. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there you go, like allowing yourself to explore that, right? And that trip, instead of being a camping trip, you can even call it like, this is my getting in touch with camping trip. But that's the intention, right? You are not going camping. You are going camping, but your intention is to run through the process of camping, setting up, sleeping, eating there, packing up, and then see how that experience feels like, see what you need to change, and then learn from it. And then next time you go camping to maybe further or a more extreme experience, then you are prepared and you are confident. So that's amazing that you are doing that. Kathleen says, I get my inspiration from you and the others in your sessions. Amazing, Kathleen. I'm happy. So guys, time is it's almost up. Let me know if you have any last minute questions before I leave. Yeah, as always, it's been a pleasure to be here with you guys. Becca says, the emotions wheel helps with identifying emotions. Fun with a general search of the words emotions wheels or feelings well. Yeah, so Becca, that's great. It's good to have a chart. You can have a chart of emotions. There are many resources online that you can find that can help you name what you are feeling. So yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah, so thank you so much, guys, for being here again. Thank you for your presence, as always. I hope to see you on Thursday, where we're going to be talking about resolving the past. We're going to be talking about the impact that the past can have in you if you don't resolve it, if you don't process it, if you don't heal it. We're going to be talking about that because that's a very important piece for everybody who is trying to make a change, because most likely there is something in the past that we are still being influenced by. And the sooner we can notice it and clear it and heal it, the faster we can keep moving forward. So I hope to see you then. And in the meantime, please enroll in my courses if you want, engage in the course classroom, listen to my audio tracks, join my circle, your thriving lifestyle, and keep living intentionally, okay? Adios.